Good morning. I'm Adore Udoji. John Hockenberry is away today, and I've got Todd Zwillick with me just up from the train, or I should say on the train from Washington. Good to have you, Todd.
Thanks. It's good to be with you. Well, Chapter 7, Chapter 11, and Chapter 13 are all parts of one terrible book. It's called Bankruptcy. GM is struggling to avoid it, but what about the little guy who's being crushed by personal debt? Personal bankruptcies are up by as much as a third in 2008. And bankruptcy is supposed to insulate American workers in financial straits, but does it even protect anybody in this economic climate? Does filing for bankruptcy even make sense anymore? To help answer that question is Alvin Hall. He's a financial consultant, and he's joined us this morning. Good morning, Alvin.
Good morning to you.
Well, that's the question, Mr. Hall. Does filing bankruptcy make sense for individual people anymore?
When you get ready to file for bankruptcy or you're considering it, you need to think of the consequences of your actions because it will sit on your credit rating for 10 years. However, if you can't pay your bills, your creditors are calling you, and you're under stress, it's time to think about bankruptcy.
It is. And what do? Do you go online and file? Do you call a lawyer?
You have to call a lawyer. With the 2005 Act, they made it much more difficult. So now you need to get a lawyer who will go over your statement. So you need to arrive with your W-2 forms, your pay stub, your bank accounts, your investment accounts, so that they can see the status of your income and your expenses. And then you have to go through counseling at an approved credit counseling agency before you can file bankruptcy. They will then look at your expenses and your income, and they will draw up a plan. You do not have to accept the plan, but the alternate plan must be filed as a part of your bankruptcy before you can even then be declared bankrupt under either Chapter 7 or Chapter 13. They then have to tell you that you have to go through budget counseling and further credit counseling. So there's all this counseling during that period of time.
But Alvin, given all of the new rules and all of the changes, it's very confusing, even to some bankruptcy lawyers I know. What counts and what do you not have to pay back? There used to be a time when there were a lot of things that when you filed bankruptcy, you were released from that obligation to pay those things back. Can you give us a little list of the things that stay with you even after you file bankruptcy?
Yes. If you file for Chapter 7 in particular, everything will be wiped away. Your consumer debt will be wiped away. However, most states, it's hard for people to qualify for Chapter 7. So therefore, they go with Chapter 13, in which you put on a 3 to 5 year payment plan. You still have to pay your house. You have to pay credit card debt. You have to pay student loans. You have to pay any back taxes. You have to pay store card debt. It may be at a reduced level, but you have to pay this plan under Chapter 13.
Alvin, I heard a statistic, and I'm not sure if it's right. You'll correct me. That half of all bankruptcies in America right now have their roots in medical costs. Is that true, and what are the implications?
That is absolutely true. As people are getting laid off, they run through their COBRA period. Most of them cannot find health insurance at a reasonable cost. All you need is one catastrophic illness, and it puts you on, or even a small illness, your kidney failure, you have high blood pressure, you have to go to dialysis or something, and that can start the snowball effect where the medical expenses rise, and you can't even afford to put food on the table.
Now, you mentioned credit cards before, and I want to ask you about credit cards. Today on Capitol Hill, I noticed they're reintroducing a bill called the Credit Card Holders Bill of Rights. If it passed, would that be a help to consumers? Why hasn't it passed before?
Well, it's been put on the table before, but the credit card lobby is incredibly strong. And also in America, there isn't this strong indignation the way there is in Britain, say, against credit card companies. And this law is designed to make certain aspects of the credit industry more transparent and more open to people. One, for example, how are your interest rates really calculated, and when do they reset those interest rates if something goes wrong? They want to eliminate completely the universal default clause, which some states have, some states don't have.
And what is that?
That means if you default on your a credit card payment, you default on your mortgage payment, or you miss a utility bill or a car payment, your credit card agency sees this on your credit report and they say, oops, they're going to default on the credit card. Let's just raise the rate on the credit card up to 28 or 33%. So they want to get rid of that. In Britain, ironically, Gordon Brown managed to get through credit card legislation to begin on January 1st of 2009. In America, even though they're proposing this, the credit card agency wants to get it delayed until 2010.
Well, let me ask you real quickly in terms of credit cards. All these murky practices of shifting interest around month to month so it's hidden from you and then they charge you later. Does this kind of stuff still go on? Is there any way to be a credit card bill hawk so that they can't pull these kind of shenanigans on you?
Not given the current laws. They have the ability to increase your interest rate from month to month, depending upon what they see. They can cut your credit limit anytime they want to. The power exists with them. That's why this Schumer bill is so important. It will give consumers more control over their credit futures.
Well, what do you think, given the history of the credit card holders' Bill of Rights and also the economy and all the outrage over bankruptcy? I know you're not a political person. You think a bill like that has a chance this year? What do you think?
I think it does have a chance because of the number of people who are going to be unemployed, the number of people who are going to be writing letters of complaints about their interest rates, the number of people who are going to be forced into bankruptcy with these 28 and 33% interest rates. You know, people always talk about when the revolution comes. This may be the year that the revolution comes in credit cards.
Can you imagine that? We'll see. Well, Alvin Hall, thanks for all that advice. Let's hope for the revolution. He's a financial consultant, and he's given us some advice on bankruptcy. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.